3:40 now on 550 and 107.1 KTSA. Jack here for Tuesday late afternoon. Coming up next hour, the president's coronavirus briefing, and expected to talk a lot about reopening the country. It's our Ask a Doctor segment right now. You can email me a question, jack@ktsa.com. You can call it in at 210-599-5555. We have Dr. Anthony Hartzler, Associate Professor of Hospital Medicine, UT Health, San Antonio, with us on the KTSA Kinetico Quality Water Softeners Newsmaker line. And Dr. Hartzler, welcome back. I hope that you're staying well and doing well today.
Yeah, hi, good afternoon.
I wanted to ask you about some of the stories we're hearing anecdotally, I guess, really more than anything from around the world, about reactivation, about people who seem to be experiencing a second bout of this virus. And I know we don't have all the answers, but what might we know about past viruses that would tell us, are these people really catching it again, or were they never truly rid of it, or what are your thoughts about that?
Yeah, so I'll say I haven't heard any reliable evidence that people have been reinfected. There's a variety of ways that somebody might appear to have been reinfected. So in the midst of an outbreak, whenever everyone is getting COVID, sometimes the resources will be short and physicians will say anyone who comes in with symptoms that look like COVID has the disease. And so someone might get diagnosed that way without actually having a test result. And a few of those patients might have had the flu or some other similar illness. They could recover and then later on be exposed to real COVID, get the disease, get diagnosed, and someone might say, hey, this is the second time they had COVID, when it's not actually the case. Again, there's, you know, I haven't been able to carefully examine any reliable reports of anyone being reinfected, so I just don't know what these anecdotes really are.
The one that really caught my attention this morning was a story out of South Korea where they are reporting 116 patients, most of them in one of the hot spots, one of the epicenters, who seem to have been confirmed as having had it. In other words, they had the test, tested positive, recovered, and now are considered what the South Koreans called reactivated. And, you know, the reason I think this is of interest is because we're trying to figure out the safe time and place to reopen in our country. And one of the metrics is obviously going to be figuring out how many people have it in order to know, you know, where we are in the timeline, right?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, we'd like to be able to reopen things completely whenever we feel that a large portion of the population has immunity. Now, I mean, at this point, despite the devastating amount of disease that we're seeing in places like New York City, there's no reason to think that a significant proportion of the population has been exposed. So I think the majority of the population is still, you know, not immune, has not gotten the disease.
Right.
Now, I think the question that you're asking is, do we even know for sure whether having had the illness would make you immune to it in the future? I think that's our assumption, and it's a fairly good assumption, but it's not 100% certain that that's the case.
Right. And would we be able to determine in a widespread way if a certain area had developed what they call herd immunity? You know, there's been some speculation, even by the governor of California and some others in California, that maybe the virus got there sooner than anyone thought. Maybe it was around. Maybe more people were exposed to it. And that would explain why California has not had nearly the experience that New York had, even though you'd expect California to be, you know, keeping pace with New York.
Right. So there is a way to determine that. The way, you know, you've heard people being excited about a type of testing called serology. And, you know, the test that we have now to diagnose COVID detects the presence of the virus itself. So when you're infected with the virus, it's in the airway dividing, and you take a swab of that area, you send it to the lab, and they can find a part of the virus and report, yes, this person's infected.
Right.
As a body is infected and fights back and ultimately gets rid of the virus, it makes something called antibodies, which are proteins that attack the virus and get rid of it. This serology testing allows you to test someone after they've recovered and detect those antibodies, which are these infection-fighting proteins. And so you could, you know, you could test a large population of people, say in California, you can say, well, okay, now we have this serology test. How many people are actually immune to this disease based on the serologic testing? So that is coming. At this point, we don't have the ability to do widespread testing, but that should be coming soon and will really help us know, right, as you said, when to reopen things, especially in places like New York City where we know that many people have been infected.
Let me take a question here for you. We're talking with Dr. Anthony Hartzler on KTSA. Connie is on line number one with a question for the doctor. Hi, Connie.
Hi, how are you? I am wondering, would it be beneficial to have an air purifier plugged into your home?
So I'll just say probably not. If you're going to become infected in your home, you're going to be infected by somebody that lives there with you. So a person who lives alone is basically impossible to get this disease. So, you know, I'll just say it's living with somebody, you're going to come in close contact with them. And so if they're infected, you're likely to get infected when you're sitting next to them at the dinner table. You're likely to get infected if you're giving them a hug or standing right next to them. And so an air purifier, I don't think would be particularly helpful.
All right, okay, Connie, good question, great, though. Thank you for the call. That's a good question. I know one that a lot of people have wondered about. So as we're going about our business for now, waiting to see when things reopen and what reopens, doctor, what would your answer be to people today about going out, when they need to go to the store, when they need to go somewhere? What do we know today that you wouldn't have been as sure of or couldn't have told us, say, 3 weeks ago?
Yeah, so I mean, I think we all know we can't do this forever. We've got to go out and get groceries. The question of masks is still, I think, a largely unanswered one. The CDC has recommended for people in areas with widespread transmission to wear cloth masks. I really don't think the science is great on those. My advice, honestly, I guess I'd say that my advice would be no different than it was 3 weeks ago, which is people do have to go out, but you need to do your best to keep your distance from people and try to reduce the amount of times that you're going out. I would also say it's time for us to put pressure on businesses. If you go to a store, if you go to a business and there are crowds of people there, they're not doing the social distancing, it's time to take your business somewhere else.
Yep. No, I like the sound of that. Doctor, we thank you for the time today. We look forward to speaking with you again. Dr. Anthony Hartzler, UT Health San Antonio, thank you. We're going to take a quick pause here, and then you and I will come back and we'll talk with Liz about everything going on locally with the virus. We're also awaiting the start of the president's briefing. We'll bring